We continue this morning with our summer sermon series from the book of Colossians. As I've mentioned several times, we're looking at Colossians from the angle of our summer theme, which is life together. So I'm going to read today from chapter 1. I'm actually going to jump back a couple of verses to the end of last week's scripture. I don't think this is on our slide, so don't worry about that, but I'll pick up at verse 13 and then read right into what you're seeing on the screen. Paul writes, "He, the Father, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He, the beloved Son, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together." May God bless to our understanding this reading of his word. In addition to my Christian faith, my family, my friends, my ministry, I have a couple of avocations, hobbies that I am really passionate about. The first is fly fishing. The second is cycling. There's a good chance, I'll just confess now, that you will be hearing more about both of these hobbies in our weeks together this summer. But today I want to grab an illustration from the world of cycling, riding a bicycle. Bicycles have actually been around. I did a little research on this. Bicycles have actually been around since the early 1800s. And in addition to being a highly efficient and sort of eco-friendly mode of transportation, riding a bike is just plain fun. Kids love bikes, youth love bikes, us adults love bikes. And unlike running, sorry runners, which put quite a pounding on your ankles and knees and hips, can be really hard on you, folks can keep riding their bike well into their senior years. Now, if you visualize a bike or imagine in your mind's eye someone riding a bike, you'll know what I mean when I say it's all about the wheels. To ride a bike is to apply wheel technology in its most rudimentary and wonderful sense. It's the wheel, the wheels on a bicycle, that translate a modicum of human effort into wind blowing through your hair, at least some of the time if you're heading downhill, wind blowing through your hair speed. A bike wheel, which, by the way, can range in price from a few bucks to actually thousands of dollars for one of the fancy wheel sets, two wheels that the Tour de France riders use. A bike wheel is made up of four basic parts. Working from the outside in, it's a tire, it's the rim, it's the spokes, and it's the hub. And it's this picture of a hub, that which is at the center, the central organizing unit, that I want to apply to one aspect of our reading from Colossians today. Like a hub that holds the spokes, that holds the rim, that holds the tire, Paul, at the end of our Colossians reading, says of Jesus Christ, "In him all things hold together." In him, in Christ, all things hold together. In Paul's gospel theology, Christ is the hub. Christ is the center. He's the center of our redemption. In verses 13 and 14, we read, "The Father has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So our redemption is anchored in Christ. He's the center of our redemption. For Paul, too, Christ is the center of creation, our creation. Verse 16, all things were created through him, that is Christ, and for him. And so here's a way to think about both our life together, our theme for the summer here at Calvin, as well as our individual walks with the Lord. To be a Christian, to be a Christian community, means allowing the center, Jesus Christ, to in fact be the center of our lives and of our fellowship. It means allowing Jesus Christ, who is the center, to actually be the center of my personal life and of our life as a congregation. And I think this entails two things. First, it means not letting someone else or something else function as the center in the place of Christ. On Thursday mornings, I teach a Bible study for men at a homeless shelter on the east side. It's called Congregations for the Homeless, and it includes 12 congregations that each take a month of the year, and during their month, they host these roughly 40 homeless men. They sleep there. They are fed breakfast and dinner. They have to clear out during the day, but they're given computer resources and counseling and lots of help. These are not so much your sort of chronically homeless folks, but these are guys who are just for various reasons down on their luck and need some assistance kind of getting back on their feet. It's really it's a fabulous ministry. And I do Bible study on Thursday mornings. There's also a Tuesday morning Bible study with those men from the shelter who want to come to Bible study. It's not required. But it's a tremendous blessing, has been in my life, to be a part of this Bible study. Last Thursday, we looked at the Ten Commandments in our Bible study, and we talked a lot about the first and the second commandments: no other gods and no graven images. And we acknowledged, the homeless guys and I, we acknowledged that while our world and the ancient world are quite different, we don't see shrines to Baal on every corner, we don't see Asherah poles set up in our backyards for worship, this letting something other than the true God function as God is still a reality that we face. Be it self, wealth, security, ideology, a cultural tradition, consumerism, etc., etc. There's much in our world, in our lives, that if allowed is more than happy to elbow out the Lord. And I think this first and second commandment perspective very much connects to our Christ the center theme this morning. There's much that would gladly be the center of our life if we give it breathing space, if we let that happen. And it's often ostensibly good things that are actually the most dangerous. I shared with the men on Thursday, and I'm sharing this with you now, that as a pastor, I'm positive at times I let church growth hold a godlike place in my life and in my ministry. I dressed it up in language about, you know, sharing the gospel and making disciples, but if I'm honest with myself, looking back, at times it was really much more about my desire to be perceived as successful. I wanted a church that was growing. Yes, because growing churches are good and everything, but if I'm honestly reflected, it was more about, at times, not all the time, my own ego that had kind of displaced God's place in my life. So coming at this notion of Christ, our Redeemer, our Creator, being the center, allowing Him to be the center, a good first step is to ask, what things in my life or in the fellowship vie for that central spot that should belong solely to Jesus Christ? I thought back to a ministry that I was familiar with as a college student called Campus Crusade for Christ. I don't know if folks here are familiar with Campus Crusade. I think they have a new name now. Crew? Is that? Yeah. Terrific, terrific ministry. But they used to have a little pamphlet called the Four Spiritual Laws. And I'm going to say more about it, but I was in Neil's office this morning, and I found a copy of the Four Spiritual Laws. Haven't seen one of these in a long time. I think this is like one of the original editions, that orangish color. But Four Spiritual Laws, boy, changed a lot of lives. And the last step, and you can see it in here after service, it shows a circle with lots of dots in the circle, and that's all the stuff of life. And in the middle of that big circle, it sits a throne, right? And the pamphlet asks, what is on the throne? Is it Christ or is it self? And that's exactly the point I'm trying to make here. And that's not a one-time thing, though this material is conversion material, and I love it. But I think it's an everyday thing. Is there something or someone or something that is holding that central place in my life other than Christ? Letting Christ be the center. So it's that doing the work of booting off the throne whatever or whoever is there who shouldn't be. Which leads to my second reflection today. This is on the positive side. Letting Christ be the center of our lives and of our fellowship means, I believe, daily and consciously and consistently acknowledging Christ and trusting in Christ as Lord and Savior. Traditionally, practices that keep us with Christ at the center have been called spiritual disciplines. And while the church has always affirmed and should always affirm that it's by grace that we have been saved through faith, and this not our own doing. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In other words, relationship with God is always grace-based. Nevertheless, certain practices, certain disciplines, certain habits, certain behaviors can help us stay centered on that grace and keep Christ at the center of our personal lives and fellowship. What are these spiritual disciplines? Well, if we had a big whiteboard, you know, we could create a list together, I'm sure. We don't have a big whiteboard, so I'll mention a few, and you'll know these. Private prayer, our own personal prayer, corporate prayer, scripture reading, personal, corporate, preaching, teaching, fasting, solitude, service, worship, both personal and, again, corporate. The list is really quite long. It's all the things we can do in response to God's grace. We always want to say that, in response to God's grace toward us, to help keep Jesus Christ at the center, personally and as a congregation. Let me offer an analogy from the sort of the physical realm to reinforce this point. Let's say that you wanted to get super healthy and fit. You want to lose some fat. You want to gain some muscle. You want to feel more energetic and maybe accomplish some great feat of physical exertion. You want to ride the Seattle to Portland bike ride. You want to hike the Pacific Crest Trail. You want to climb Mount Rainier. Whatever it might be, fill in the blank. These sorts of activities will vary a lot according to our age, our life situation. But to get in great physical shape, first you'd probably want to stop doing any behaviors that were really detrimental to your health, right? So you'd want to stop smoking if you smoked. You'd want to stop consuming a diet solely made up of Cheetos and soda pop. In our analogy, this would be the not letting something or someone else be the center. In other words, there's kind of a negative project here. You want to get rid of stuff. You want to boot stuff out of your life. But to get in really great shape physically, we need to take some positive steps. It wouldn't be just quit doing stuff. It would be start doing good stuff. And so, again, depending on, you know, who you are and your starting point, a person might start walking. You know, walking is terrific. Morning, maybe in the evening. Perhaps add a little weightlifting or something into the mix. You'd want to pay attention to nutrition, you know, eat healthy food, all that good stuff. Want to make sure you got enough sleep, plenty of good sleep, very important. And then over time, you would add activities that would prepare you even more completely for whatever great endeavor you were going to shoot for. In other words, put it this way, we all know that climbing Mount Rainier takes more than just a desire to climb Mount Rainier. It requires preparation and training. In fact, if someone told us they were planning on climbing Mount Rainier in August, and we asked them what they were doing for training for that endeavor, and they were to say, nothing, we'd at least think to ourselves, if not say it to them, you're not serious about this. You're saying you want to climb Mount Rainier, but you're not doing anything to get ready to climb Mount Rainier. Back to our Christ the Center theme. If we affirm that Jesus Christ is the center of life, He's Lord, He's Savior, He's King, He's all in all. And we were asked, what are we doing to support that claim and to support the place of Jesus Christ in our life and in our fellowship? And we said, nothing. It would indicate that while we affirmed in theory a certain truth, we were not serious about implementing that truth in our life and living out that truth in our life. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Are we continuing in his word? Jesus said, pray, ask, seek, knock. Are we praying? Are we asking, seeking, knocking? Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Are we? And the list could go on and on. It's always within the context of the generous grace of God, but there simply are things we can do to bring alive the centrality of Jesus Christ in our personal lives and in our fellowship. We're a little past the hour. Can I borrow 3 minutes? Is that okay? Thank you. Because I want to conclude with one of my favorite Christian poems, and this may be familiar to you, but I think it captures this sense of putting Jesus Christ at the center and letting him rule and reign in a practical way. And it's a poem called St. Patrick's Breastplate, written in the 5th century, so this is sort of an oldie. But I'll conclude with Patrick's words. They're attributed to Patrick. But you'll feel the spirit of what I've been trying to get at this morning. I bind unto myself today the power of God to hold and lead, his eye to watch, his might to stay, his ear to hearken to my need, the wisdom of my God to teach, his hand to guide, his shield to ward, the word of God to give me speech, his heavenly host to be my guard. Against the demon snares of sin, the vice that gives temptation force, the natural lusts that war within, the hostile men that mar my course. Or few or many, far or nigh, in every place and in all hours, against their fierce hostility, I bind to me these holy powers. Against all Satan's spells and wiles, against false words of heresy, against the knowledge that defiles, against the heart's idolatry, against the wizard's evil craft, against the death wound and the burning, the choking wave, the poisoned shaft, protect me, Christ, till thy returning. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. I bind unto myself the name, the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one, the one in three, of whom all nature hath creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word, praise to the Lord of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ the Lord.